Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Morning.
Good to see you on this Lord's Day. It's good to be in the house to worship, isn't it? And let me say this, friends. You know what? I know some of you are here having just lost your family members, and we're sorry about that. We're going to pray with you and for you about that. Some are here, some are watching online earlier, battling cancer, going through treatments. Just a lot of stuff. But through Christ, like we just sung, amen? Through Christ, there's hope. There's always hope in Jesus. I'm going to have Christian read some scripture for me in a minute, but if you're here today and happen to be, and I know there's visitors here, and thank you for being with us. Thank you all for being with us. But we've been going through a journey called Spiritual War. And today I'm going to actually wrap that up, except for I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit, the other side of the coin here in a couple of weeks. But I'm going to wrap up that Spiritual War series today, and the topic is suicide. I mentioned that to you in the past weeks that I was going to get to this point, and so that's the topic today. And I know the topic is hard. I know it's heavy, but I just felt it's necessary. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today. I want Christian to read 1 John 4:1-4 for us first. And I want to emphasize, you've heard me say this over the course of this Spiritual War series, I want to emphasize that verse 4. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Amen?
Amen.
When we know Jesus, now if we don't, that's a whole different matter. But when we know Christ, when we have been born again, when we have been Holy Spirit led, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, throwing all kinds of stuff at us. Christian, read that for us first, and then we'll pray, and then we'll press on. 1 John 4:1-4. That's where we're going to start.
1 John 4:1-4. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses of Jesus Christ has come in the flesh of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming, and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world.
Amen. Amen. That's our hope, friends. He that is in you when you have trusted Christ is greater than the wiles of the devil. He that is in you when you have been born again is greater than that roaring lion that Peter speaks about, looking whom he's going to devour next. He who is in us is greater. Amen? That's our hope. Now, I'm going to read one more verse. Then we're going to go to the Lord in prayer before we go any further. I've mentioned this John 10:10 to you a number of times through this journey. But I want to emphasize the back part of this verse today, where I've been highlighting the front part before. John 10:10, the words of Jesus, the thief, he's talking about the devil, does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And this is what Jesus said, I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. That's the part I want to emphasize today. I have come, Jesus said, that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Let's pray before we go any further. Father, we so thank you for the privilege just to come together to worship you like this. We so thank you, Father, for the hope that is in Jesus. We so thank you, Father, for your word, the words of Jesus here that remind us he has come that we might have life, we might have it to the full. Thank you for everyone here, Father. You know the burdens that some are carrying. They've lost their loved one. They've got cancer. They've got surgeries. They've got difficulties. You know the burdens. You know the baggage. Father, I just pray that we can rest at the feet of Jesus here this morning, that we can be sensing your spirit, led by your spirit, comforted by your spirit, encouraged by your spirit, and maybe a little more aware at the end of this topic of the reality of the enemy trying to kill. So guide us this morning, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, friends, I want us to think for a moment about this verse again before I get to some statistics. Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I want you to really think. I want you to really drill down. And I'm not being judgmental. I just want you to ponder this. Are you really in Christ? Have you really come to Christ? Have you surrendered everything to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he Lord? Having a head knowledge is one thing, but is he really Lord? When he says, I have come that they might have life, he's talking about eternal life, but he's also talking that we might have a life here and today, that he walks with us, and he'll walk with us through the trials and the tragedies and the difficulties. And so I ask us first, before we go any further, do you really know Jesus? Because at the end of the day, nothing else matters except what I have done with Jesus. Is he Lord? Have I claimed him by faith? Has the grace of God that we sung about reached down and washed me clean? Do I really know Christ? Because if we don't, the battle is going to be undoable. If we don't know Christ, then we're on this journey in life by ourselves. Do you know Jesus? That's what I want us to think about first. Now, let me say this because I'm talking about suicide. I am in no way, shape, or form here to minimize anyone's difficulties. I'm going to read you from some research I've done this past couple of weeks of some of the reasons for suicides, and I'm in no way, shape, or form here minimizing any of the reasons, because they'll list depression and mental illness and sickness and pain and a whole lot of stuff. I'm not here to minimize any of that because I know it's real, but I am here to tell us, friends, there is hope in Jesus. Amen? There is hope in Jesus. There is joy in his spirit. There is love and peace and goodness and kindness in the Lord. When he says, I have come that they might have life more abundantly, it doesn't mean everything is going to be wiped perfectly clean like you're going to live in heaven. There's a heaven awaiting his people. But it doesn't mean that today, because there'll still be difficulty, there's still an enemy, there'll still be tragedy, there'll still be death. But there is hope in Jesus, regardless of what we're going through. There's joy, there's peace, there's love, there's this, well, the peace that passes understanding. In Jesus. So I'm not minimizing anybody's pain. I'm just encouraging us. There's always hope in Christ. Even when the burden and the cross that you've been called to bear seems so heavy, there is peace. There is peace in Jesus. Bring up that first slide for me, Kristen. I want to show you some statistics that are sobering, friends. did a little research this last couple of weeks on the matter. Suicide is the 11th leading cause of death in America. I got these gleanings, as you see, from the CDC. And their latest was 2021, and they said in 2021 there was 48,183 suicides in America. That same year, 1.7 million attempted suicide. That same year, 12 million thought about it. I read a little bit from the NBC News survey, and in 2023, they said over 50,000 suicides. So the number is still there. It's a lot of suicides in America per year. On average, there are 132 suicides a day in America. And this 2021 statistic says white males make up 69.68% of those in the 2021 suicides. In other words, 7 in 10 are white males. So I read these statistics and I ask myself, why? Why does this happen? And I ask myself a follow-up question, does it have to happen? And that's why I researched a little further. What are the reasons for suicide? Now, I'm going to give you those reasons in a minute, but let me go here first because I think this is important. Because sometimes we get these preconceived notions in the church. And so let me just say this. Before we in the church get critical of someone that's been there, pondered it, or whatever, or before we in the church get condemning of people that are pondering this, or perhaps even telling someone if you had the right kind of faith, you'd be well, before we get that judgmental cap on, let me just say, let us not assume we know what people are going through when this heaviness has taken over. Let us not assume that we know the spiritual battle that's raging on in their mind. But as a church, as followers of Christ, what I want to submit to us, let us offer hope and help and prayer rather than condemnation and criticism. Amen? So I asked myself, why does this happen? I did a little research from Boston University because they did research on the matter. Colorado University, they did research on the matter. LA Times had an article on the matter. And I'm sure there's a lot more, but those are the ones I read. As to why. Why does this happen 50,000 times a year? Why do 12 million Americans think about it? The studies will say that depression, mental illness, financial strain, loneliness, economy, political turmoil, job market or the lack thereof, drug availability. Yes, some studies have now shown that because oxycodone and oxycontin are so available, it's much easier to do the deed from intentional overdose and poisoning. These studies also say that because of the availability of guns, that's another reason. And so they've got all these reasons why people commit suicide. But I want to submit to us, friends, there's another reason. And it might be the main reason. And that is spiritual war. John 10:10, Jesus reminds us we have an enemy. We have a thief that come to steal and to kill and to destroy. We have an enemy that comes to steal your joy and your peace. And he will get clever at how to do that. He will get clever at how to do that in the church house and in your house and in your life. We have an enemy that will come to steal your purpose in life. And you will start to think these thoughts, and why bother? We have an enemy that will come to kill, including our families from time to time. I gave you the examples 2 weeks ago about Christians who die at the hands of martyrs, in accidents, and a whole lot of other ways. We have an enemy that come to destroy your relationships. And so I submit to us, these reasons are certainly real. But I submit to us there's more reasons, and that is spiritual war. Let me give you one example. I was reading in the Heritage Foundation as I did my research, and this particular article came from Ryan T. Anderson. He's a PhD, and he wrote this article, and I quote, and let me say this, friends, I said this earlier too. Please don't throw things at me or get harsh with me. I'm quoting this, and I'm giving you some statistics that are real to show you how I think this war is spiritual. And I quote in the Heritage Foundation from this PhD. We have this one for you to follow along. When the tumult and shouting dies, it proves not easy nor wise to live in a counterfeit sexual garb. The most thorough follow-up of sex-reassigned people, extending over 30 years and conducted in Sweden, where the culture is strongly supportive of the transgendered, documents their lifelong mental unrest. 10 to 15 years after surgical reassignment, the suicide rate of those who had undergone sex reassignment surgery rose to 20 times that of comparable peers, end quote. Not doubled or tripled, 20 times higher suicide rates. I submit to us, friends, this is a spiritual war. This is a spiritual dilemma. And this, from this research, written about in the Heritage Foundation, but written about and available to anybody that wants to see it, this concludes that sex change surgery is not the answer. Jesus is the answer, because it's Jesus that said, I have come that they might have life, and they might have it to the full. Amen? Now, we can argue and we can rationalize, and you can blame me for bashing those struggling with transgenders. I'm not. I'm saying this is a spiritual war that leaves, it manifests itself in the physical. Because I have been around the block, so to speak, a time or two, I have heard this from people that have considered suicide. I have heard these reasons personally. No one will miss me anyway. I've heard these reasons. And I submit to you, yes, people will miss you tremendously, because I have held the mothers of weeping in my arms when their child has committed suicide. I submit to you, I have also heard recently someone said to me, in our mind, we feel the pain will finally be gone. In reality, the pain just gets transferred to the survivors. I have held the weeping survivors. I have heard, quote, the world will be better off without me. And I will submit to you once more, no, it won't, because God has a purpose for all of us. And so when you consider these lies, no one will miss me anyway, or these lies, the pain will finally be gone, or these lies, the world will be better off without you. Where does that come from? It comes from the enemy. This is spiritual war. The enemy is the one, Jesus said, that come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. These feelings, these ideas, these painful ideas, these wrestling matches come from the enemy. This is spiritual war. This is of the devil, who wants people to end their life. I submit to us today, friends, that I believe a lot of the real reason for these terrible high suicide numbers is really spiritual. There's a battle, you see, for our minds. Turn in Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 for a minute. Let us see the importance of the mind. Paul is writing, to the church of Rome, and he's writing to, when I say church, believers. And he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, that's fellow believers in Christ, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And then he says this, very, very important to these believers in Rome and to us today, and do not be conformed to this world. You see, friends, I'm gonna stop there just for a moment. I'm not getting in there. The world is the enemy's playground, and the world promotes violence and death and destruction and division and mayhem. And Paul is writing to the Church of Rome, and he's saying to us today, don't be conformed to that stuff, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, friends, our mind is crucial in this battle. And if we're unable or unwilling to be intentional about the renewing process, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. If we're not able to do that or unwilling to do that, our minds are open season to the devil. And he will play all kinds of havoc on your mind, on my mind. You say, Jim, how do I renew my mind? Philippians 4, 6 through 9. Philippians 4, I got to hurry up, I got a ways to go. Here's what Apostle Paul says to the church at Philippi. Be anxious for nothing. You say, that's probably not the best advice for somebody thinking about committing suicide. But look what he says. Be anxious for nothing. And how am I going to combat that anxiousness, Jim or Paul? But in everything, to combat that anxious feeling, to that turmoil, that destructive feeling, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. In everything that I'm anxious about, in everything that's going on around me, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And I know the argument because I've heard it. I've asked God to take this feeling of suicide away from me 1,000 times, and I still got it. The renewing of our minds. We have to be intentional about the renewing of our minds. We have to be intentional about being of the things, in the ways of God. We have to be. And in one of the ways to process that anxiousness and that difficulty is come to God. Come to God. And he says, in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Jim, how am I supposed to be thankful if I got suicidal thoughts? There's something to be thankful for. There's something to be thankful for. You say, Jim, you don't understand my life. I got nothing. Let me give you something. We just got done celebrating the tomb is empty. We just got done being reminded about the Savior on the cross. He died for my sin. He died for yours and everyone else's. There is something to be thankful for. The living God left the splendor of heaven and came and died on the cross so we didn't have to die and go to hell. There is something to be thankful for. He didn't stay dead. The tomb is empty. And Jesus said, I'll not leave you orphans, but I'll send the Comforter. We have the Holy Spirit. We're not in this battle alone. And when we're able in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known to God. When we are able to depend on Him and to trust in Him and to cry out to Him in everything, He says this, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You say, Jim, I haven't had any peace for so long, I can't even remember it. Do you know the Prince of Peace, friends? Remember where I said where it starts? Do you know Jesus? Do you really know Jesus? And I'm not saying Christians can't struggle with suicide. Sometimes they do. But if we don't know Christ, how can we know the peace of Christ? Are you hearing me? How can we know that peace that passes understanding, that peace that comes out of nowhere? Yes, my loved one just died. Yes, I just been told I got cancer. Yes, this tragedy. Yes, that. But I got peace because I got Jesus. That peace that comes out of nowhere. That's what he's talking about. And then Paul says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, of good report, if there is any virtue and there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Friends, we need to fill our minds with the Word of God. We need to be listening to Christian radio. I can't hear no more, so I don't listen to radio, but you don't have that excuse. We need to be filling our minds with the Word of God. We need to be with each other. There's a reason Hebrews said, do not forsake the assembling of the saints. We need each other. We can't do life alone. We're never intended to do life alone. We're intended to do life with Jesus and with each other. And so we can combat the wiles of the devil. We can stand against the roaring lion who wants to devour us. We were never intended to be alone in our Christian journey. I got to hurry up. In my research, I wondered out loud, what does the Bible say about suicide? And I found this quote from gotquestions.blog. I'd never heard of it before, but I found this, and I want to quote this. I'm going to have Kristen put it up on the board for you for the 2 points at the end. I really, really think they're really good. What does the Bible say about suicide, from gotquestions.blog, and here it is. The Bible mentions 6 people who committed suicide. You can see them there in Judges, Samuels, Kings, and Matthew. You probably know them by name like I do too. None of them were righteous, to say the least. The Bible nowhere explicitly states it is a sin to commit suicide, but the Bible does condemn murder, Exodus 20:13. Suicide is self-murder. Therefore, suicide is a sin, since murder is a sin. Aside from the do not commit murder command, suicide is also a sin for the following 2 reasons, 1 theological and 1 practical. Here's the reason I wanted to include this quote. I think this is dead on, friends. Point 1, it is God and God alone who has the right to determine life and death. Amen? Hello? It is God that granted us life. It is God that grants us breath. I think that's a great point. And point 2 from this little quote, suicide reveals a belief that God is not powerful enough to help you solve your problems. End quote. I'm not trying to minimize anybody's problems because I know they're heavy. I know they're real. But I think he's right. Suicide reveals a belief that God is not powerful enough, or some people might even say, well, God doesn't care enough, but he is powerful enough. He does care. Also, in that blog, in that quote, what does the Bible say about suicide? Simply put, suicide is a sin. It is never the right thing to take your own life. What does the Bible say about suicide? Don't do it. And here's what it offers, and I think it's right. If you are an unbeliever, if you haven't been born again, I've been saying this the whole time, that's where we have to start. But here's what he said. If you are an unbeliever, God is able to redeem your life and to give you true purpose for living through Jesus. I say hallelujah. He will give you purpose. When the enemy tries to steal your purpose, God will give you purpose. And then he says, if you are a believer, God has already redeemed your life. And no matter how difficult your current circumstances, God can accomplish great things through the rest of your life. God can do it. Let me say this, and then I'll try to wrap it up. Our time is about gone, friends. It is gone, but don't look at the clock. It's not quite gone. Let me say this, friends. To those who struggle with the thoughts of suicide, please get help. Let us pray for you. If you don't want me to, that's fine. Casey will. If you don't want Casey or I, there's other Spirit-filled believers. We will labor in prayer for you. Christian mental health professionals, get help, friends. Please seek help. The Bible says in Galatians 6:1-2, we're 6:2 primarily, we are to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law. Bear one another's burdens. Sometimes that might mean when somebody is contemplating suicide. We are to bear one another's burdens. You say, Jim, I don't have the answers for somebody wanting to commit suicide. Love them. To start with, remind them of their value in Jesus and pray. Some of you that have been around here a lot of years heard me mention this before, I think, because I think I mentioned this before a number of years ago. But several years ago, I was standing at the bed of a dear friend of mine. He was in great pain, great agony. Cancer will do that. Some cases are just so difficult. And I stood beside this brother's bed. Sherry was there, but she was in another part of the room talking to our sister, this brother's wife. And this brother whispers to me, Pastor, I'm in terrible pain. And he said, do you think it's okay if I ask the nurses to up the morphine and just so it's over? He was asking for my permission to give him permission to tell her up the morphine so I'm done with it all. I love this man. And I didn't want to see him in that kind of pain. I hated it. But somewhere deep in my spirit, I couldn't find the strength to say, yes, go ahead. Tell her to double it. Tell her to up it. So it's all over. I couldn't find the strength for that. But rather I said to him, I said, brother, I want to just pray for you. I want to just pray for you. I want to cry out to God on your behalf, and I want to really let God be God. He's the one that holds life and breath. And he said, okay. And we prayed. And cried out to God on his behalf. And God took away some of the pain. And the brother lived for 9 more months. He even came here and worshiped with us. And in God's time, he went home to be with Jesus. I have come that they might have life, Jesus said, and that they might have it more abundantly. He didn't say perfection, but he said that life that provides the joy of Jesus, the hope of heaven, the peace of Jesus. I have come that they might have it more abundantly, Jesus said. The question is, do we believe it? Do we subscribe to what he said? I got to wrap up because time is gone. I just want to say thank you for listening through this series. As Casey has said, Teen Challenge is here next week to sing, to share testimonies. I hope you'll come. It's not a Sunday to skip on church. I hope you'll actually bring somebody because you never know what the Spirit of God will do through a testimony to somebody else. And the week after, I'm going to talk about the other side of the coin. I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit. And I've told us a couple times in this journey, Ephesians 6. We've looked at it a couple times. How do we combat these attacks from the devil? We've got to keep our mind sharp in Jesus. We've got to keep our mind in the Word. We've got to put on the armor of God. Ephesians 6, we've looked at that twice. But we also have to have the Holy Spirit's power. I'll talk about that a little bit in 2 weeks. There's more that could be said about this topic on spiritual war. There's a ton more examples, but I think I'm going to close it at this. And I just want to say this. This series has not been easy for some people to listen to. I know that. I've heard it. This series has not been easy for me. It's not been easy for the church because the devil has kicked up the difficulties for our church and for me. But there has also been victory. Are you hearing me? I have got the emails. I have got the text. I have got the messengers that said, Jim, thank you. I have had to do spiritual inventory. I have had to do a house cleaning. There have been people that invited us into their home to pray over their home, to bless it, and to ask God to, it by His Spirit, to rid it the places of evil. There has been great victories in this series. There's been heaviness, to be sure, but there's been great joy and victory. And so I'll end with this series as I started a whole bunch of weeks ago, and Christian read to us, when we know Jesus. And I emphasize that because, friends, we can go all through life thinking, I believe in God, I think I'm a Christian, I think I'm good to go because all roads lead to heaven, or because I'm a good person, or because I got baptized, or whatever else rationale we're using. If we don't know Christ, we have no way to combat the devil. But when we do, 1 John 4:1-4, but emphasizing 4, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That is Jesus. Greater is he over the devil. Ladies, we'll get ready to sing. Greater is he that is in us, Christians, than he that will throw those darts and those arrows at you. Greater is he that will walk with you when I'm feeling suicidal. I'm feeling the world will be better off without me. I'm feeling nobody cares. I'm feeling the pain will be gone. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Never forget that. But it all starts with Jesus. If you've not been born again, and if you're not spirit-led, friends, you must start there. Surrender your life to Christ. Give everything to Jesus. Your agenda, your will, everything to Christ. And he will walk with you and stay in the Word and keep renewing your minds and keep on the armor to combat the wiles of the devil. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood, remember? But against principalities of evil in the heavenly places. This war is real and it is serious. But greater is he that is in us when we know Christ than he that is in the world. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your words of truth. Thank you for the hope that is in Jesus, the victory that is in and through Jesus and through your Holy Spirit. Father, I just want to pray today specifically for those that are carrying that burden, carrying that baggage, carrying that hurt, whatever it is today. I pray that you would walk with them and lighten that burden. I pray that they would trust you completely and remember the invitation of Jesus back in Matthew that says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." Thank you, Jesus, for offering rest. Thank you for being our peace. I just pray, Father God, that whatever folks are working through today, that you would lift that burden. They would feel your presence and know the joy of Jesus all over again. Thank you for everyone here. Walk with them this day and this week, Father, as funerals are conducted and funerals are prepared for and treatments are taken and surgeries are had and other challenges that lie before us. You know what they are already. Walk with each person here, Father, comforting them, encouraging them, strengthening them. And Father, may I also ask, will you strengthen us and equip us in the church to come alongside those that are so burdened with life they can't take it anymore? Will you show us who they are? And can we connect with them, Father, in the name of Jesus and by the leading of your Spirit, to love them, to pray with them, to encourage them, and help them on a new path, a stronger path, one that shows they have purpose in Jesus. Thank you for this day. Go with each and every one, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Amen.